Good morning here at 1320 WARA and all over the world at WARARadio.com. This is Pontificating with Paul and the Proletariat. We'll be here until 12 noon, and then it's time for Amy Goodman with Democracy Now! I knew where I was going to start. Gosh darn it. Here we are. Yay! You can call us at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. That's the phone number to call in on the air. You can be a remote correspondent to the program by texting me at 774-287-61. Dominic? No, here's where you yell 9-4. Thank you. That's 774-287-6194. Ooh, we have emails here. Oodles of emails. Ooh, another one? Here we go. Oh, wow. An email from Gretchen Robinson that I'll have to read a little bit later. Outstanding. Thank you, Gretchen. Where are we here? It's October 24th. In the year of our Allah, 2017. Yay! October 24th already. 7 days left. 7 days left to get my windshield fixed, my passenger side windshield wiper, re-duct tape the left rear quarter panel of my car, and get an inspection sticker. And I'm only 4,000 miles overdue for an oil change. Other than that, my 2003 piece of crap Saturn Ion is running just great. Just great. It's fabulous. And remember, folks, it's a creed I live by. If it wasn't for the last minute, a lot of things wouldn't get done. What's my little pillow doing over there?
I don't know.
What's your name? You know who I took that pillow? You know who I'm borrowing that pillow from? Carol's mom, the lovely Mary Lou McLaughlin of the Quincy McLaughlins. Wonder if she misses it. Oh, well. I don't think she'd want it now. When the kids were here over the summer doing their TV production course, they were using that for a prop for something.
Exactly. So who knows what they're doing it with now.
Once those rotten little crumb crushers have gotten their grubby little hands all over it, who wants it?
So are you hungry now?
Yeah. Yes.
That's why I get local guests in studio.
That wasn't a guest. That was an infomercial. Who's kidding whom?
Really?
What do they have for vegan customers?
Oh, they can go online. They got a lot of gluten-free. They got vegan stuff. They got whatever.
So yeah, I could bring my rotten kids there.
Of course you can.
Okay. All right. You're a music guy.
I hope so.
On this day in 1970, U.S. President Richard Nixon appealed to radio broadcasters to screen songs with lyrics that urge drug use. Mm-hmm. That means that Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, and the Moody Blues were banned from the radio for about 37 seconds until DJs decided people liked those bands, and they kept playing them. And there was no mention in that 1970 decree by President Richard Nixon that radio broadcasters should screen the songs for lyrics with drug use. No mention of Bitches and Hoes. Those were still okay in songs.
Can you say that on the radio?
I don't know. Can I? Should I hit the dump button just in case?
It's too late.
All right. Well, no, you have 8 seconds.
It's all right. It's too late.
Oh, well, it's gone. But no, really, I mean...
Should have asked Amazing Kreskin yesterday, then.
Did you hear that interview?
I did not.
Okay. You know what? That's a good question. I want some feedback on that. Because it was just me here alone and Kreskin over the phone. And if people think that I sometimes start a sentence... And by the time I get to the end of the sentence, I'm on a completely different subject, which I do plead guilty to. I am a piker. I am a rank amateur to the Amazing Kreskin when it comes to that. So I would like a little bit of feedback. Did that interview work? Were you as confused as I was? And the whole point of the interview was him coming on Johnny Carson's birthday to tell us what they were doing underneath his desk.
Did you get to that?
With playing cards. We got to it. We didn't really get an answer, and I don't know if that's because
he didn't want to answer yet.
Well, I don't know if he couldn't express the answer or because the whole interview was supposed to be a tease to make you, I don't know, follow him online or go to a Kreskin performance where he will unveil what went on under the desk. I do have to say, we cleared up. There was no sexual harassment going on under the desk. Because, again, that was Johnny Carson's studio, not Harvey Weinstein's office. So that was, so I'm glad we cleared that up. But no, but seriously, other than that, you know, you can text me at 774-287-6194. It's the third time we had Kreskin on. The first time
he still hasn't learned.
Yeah, really, and he still keeps coming back. First time felt like a conversation.
Yeah.
The last two times felt more like, where's he going? Mm-hmm. What's...
This is the first or the second time it was around his birthday.
Johnny Carson's.
No, Kreskin's.
Oh, when's his birthday?
I think it was around the first time you actually had him on.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry. See? Hey, I'm a talk show host, I know. Not a listen
right.
show host.
You don't
host.
Know your facts yet. That's why you That's why you plagiarized
yes.
that first.
Or make things up.
Wow. Wow. More likely that.
So we're not supposed to talk about next week? For you? No?
That's right.
Okay. Let's Dance was recorded by Benny Goodman and his orchestra on this day in 1939.
Which became his theme song.
My parents, wow. Razz dances at University of Vermont. Well, my mom wasn't there yet in 1939, but my dad was. And Dominic's heading out. But Benny Goodman, they like Glenn Miller, of course, but Benny Goodman was their musician of choice. Wow, and then in, when it comes to music and the legal business, on this day in 1988, Fantasy Records versus John Fogerty. That case began. Fantasy claimed that Fogerty had plagiarized his own song, Run Through the Jungle, when he wrote Old Man Down the Road. Now, Pearl Jam is famous, one, for giving us good rock and roll music, and two, for having a what, 25, 30-year feud with record companies. Yes, record companies. Not as bad as pharmaceutical companies. Sure as hell not as bad as fossil fuel companies. But record companies, wow, they are not musicians' friends, folks. But yes, it's one thing when you plagiarize someone else, like George Harrison was sued for plagiarism of He's So Fine with his song My Sweet Lord, which led to George's song Northern Song, responding to that. But it's one thing to plagiarize someone else, but you could really be sued for plagiarizing yourself. Wow. Which can only happen when you lose the rights to your own music. Odd. Did Hemingway ever lose the rights to his novels? Crazy. Just absolutely crazy. And we'll play some Tony Bennett music today because on this day in 1995, New York City, not the whole state, just New York City, declared October 24th to be Tony Bennett Day. Yay, Tony Bennett, yay. Tax policy is in the news. Had a story, had a column from September 5th from David Leonhard of the New York Times, which I kept prepping, telling you I was going to talk about. It's about tax policy, that thrilling, exciting topic. And then I lost the article. Found it last night by complete accident on the floor of the back seat of my car. So I might get to that again. Dr. Seuss, is Dr. Seuss now a bad guy? We grew up loving Dr. Seuss. I think Dr. Seuss books were the first books I could read on my own. Rhyming is a skill. You had to be able to rhyme things to read Dr. Seuss books. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Of course, his pornographic book, Hop on Pop, that was banned in many, many states, I think. But Green Eggs and Ham, my favorite book as a child, Green Eggs and Ham, get away from me. Get away from me. What was your favorite book as a little bambino, as a little kid? When you were so little, you didn't even matter. When you were so little, you were happy for crying out loud. You didn't realize how much strife and horror and hate there was in the world. When I got a little older, I remember when I was 8, after dinner, my sister Mary and Joni would do the dishes because the boys in the family, we were young men. We didn't have to clean anything. What are you kidding me? The girls did that. I know. Isn't that amazing? Nowadays, the chores would be split evenly, I hope. Not back then. Domestic duties? That fell to the girls. So Joan and Mary would do the dishes while my mother would nurse my little sister Christine, the great mistake. She'd nurse Christine while reading me Treasure Island. That's one of the neatest, most comforting, most everything is good in the universe memory that I have as a child. Just did nasty throw up cop cough, says Agent 97. How was that one? And then Agent 76 writes in, Treasure Island was my favorite book. Way to go, John. All right, Agent 76. Yeah. No, that's a cool thing. I was 8 years old. Everything was okay. We had just been well fed. Too young to know that for most of human history, people had to go out and slay their food or pick it from the ground. Heck, we went to the grocery store, Iandoli's in Westboro, where they even loaded the packages into your car for you. Customers didn't have to do that themselves. What are you kidding me? But yes, food, handy, available, well-fed, well-nourished, and then sitting on the couch while Mom read Treasure Island. Oh, gosh. How does that end? I don't remember how that ends. Of course, I remember how the movie Planet of the Apes ends with Charlton Heston, but that's nothing like Treasure Island now, is it? Oh, look at this. Look at this, showing that he refuses to be politically correct in any way, shape, or form. Bert Buckley tells us that Huckleberry Finn, whoops, was his favorite as a kid. Huck Finn. Is that where you learned the N-word, Bert? Which, let the record show, I've never heard Bert use the N-word. And I've sure as heck never seen him post it on Facebook or tweet it out. But yeah, Huckleberry Finn. Wow, back when kids can be kids. Oh, which reminds me of something else I plagiarized and I have to find. Oh, there it is. There it is. Well, maybe I'll talk about that next. Things we did as kids that kids can't do now. Like, you know, read Huckleberry Finn. Great choice. Great choice. And why do people like Huckleberry Finn more than they like Tom Sawyer? I don't know. One was the troublemaker. One was the good kid. I don't know. Also loved reading comic books, says Agent 76. Speaking of that, the guy who invented Batman, it's his birthday today, Bob Kane. Kane, K-A-N-E. I believe he was Dave Kane's younger brother. Bob Kane was born on this day in 1915, a comic book artist and the creator of Batman. And Batman was exceedingly unique because Batman did not have superhuman powers. I mean, he had oodles and oodles of millions of dollars, but he had no superhuman powers. He couldn't see through anything. He couldn't stop a speeding bullet by just flexing his chest muscles. Which leads to the other thing about Superman. Remember the Superman show? And this is not an original thought. I'm sure I've stolen this from someone. But when you watch Superman as a kid, the bad guys would have Superman look like hemmed in. They'd fire at him. Six bullets, right? They'd fire their six-shooter at him. The bullets would bounce off Superman. And then what would the bad guys do next? Go ahead, what would they do next? Remember? They would throw their gun at him. Wow. Talk about people unclear on the concept. If the bullets fired by the gun could not pierce the superhuman strength of Superman, what made you think throwing the gun at him would hurt him? And then the other odd thing, a lot of times they'd fire the six bullets at Superman, they'd all bounce in his chest, they'd throw the gun at Superman, and what would Superman do? He'd duck. What are you ducking for? The bullets didn't go through you, and you stood there manly, you know, hands on hips, elbows out, masculine pose, bullets bouncing off his chest. Your bullets trifle me. Then they'd throw the gun, and he'd duck. Odd. Very, very odd. And here's another remote correspondence. Oh, wow. Watching Swiss Family Robinson 2, Tom Sawyer. Oh, watching Swift Family Robinson 2, period. Tom Sawyer 2. So Bert liked the Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn books. They were two different books. Simpler times. Yes, they were simpler times. And plus, that was a lot. Those books actually did teach you about racial prejudice and the injustice and illogic of same. Funny, Carol and I just mentioned Swiss Family Robinson last night because, as you know, if you were watching Jeopardy last night, the final Jeopardy answer was Robinson Crusoe, which as a kid I always thought was Robinson Crusoe, but it's Robinson Crusoe, C-R-U-S-O-E, I think. The first movie I ever saw in a movie theater was The Sound of Music, White City Cinemas, in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, on the shores of Lake Quinsigamond. The second movie I ever saw in a movie theater was Swiss Family Robinson. Yep. Oh, we were happy then. Weren't we happy then? Oh, also read The Life of Daniel Boone, says Agent 76. I never read that. Watched the television show. Might have had some of those episodes memorized. Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man. Yeah. 508-222-1320. 508-222-1320 is Lord Numbear. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320.
Glimpse the newspaper operation in the modern age on a guided tour of the Sun Chronicle newspaper offices and plant. See the press's role in the daily creation of the oldest continuous form of mass communication since European town criers and news bulletins on parchment nailed to tavern doors in ancient Rome. The tour will take place on Tuesday, October 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sun Chronicle offices and plant on South Main Street in Attleboro. You can register for the event by calling 508-222-0157.
Are you looking for more opportunity? The Literacy Center is here to help. We have free year-round classes in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can prepare for your citizenship test, make a resume, get ready for college, or learn how to speak better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. View our website, theliteracycenter.com, or call 508-226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Let's Dance by Benny Goodman, recorded on this day in 1939. Welcome back to Pontificating with Paul and the Proletariat here at 1320 WARA. Yes, Ned. Yes, Ned from Westboro, one of our quality control engineers. I did see the Bizarro comic yesterday in the Daily Pravda, the Boston Globe. I thought it was perfect because, no pun intended, in the annals of this show, or the history of this show, the very day that the lovely Carol McLaughlin of the yada, yada, yada figured out how to listen to this show on her smartphone, which was an amazing feat because she's almost as much of a technomoron as I am. The very day she figured out how to hear the show on her iPhone, she was in the waiting room looking for something to do, so she took the time to figure out how to get on the interweb on her smartphone, which she had never done before, and ended up listening to the show while I was discussing the colonoscopy she was about to go through. Some people found that shocking, that I would openly discuss her colonoscopy over the air. Unfortunately for me, one of those some people was Carol herself. But anywho, yesterday's Bizarro, it's a single-panel cartoon, and it's fantastic. The patient is in bed, older male patient, and the doctor is saying to him, "And because it's October, you have the choice of a regular colonoscopy or pumpkin spice. It's everywhere. Pumpkin spice is everywhere. Oh, Les Dance is over by Benny Goodman. Here we go. But yes, but stories, books, things we like to ask kids. I still have Dr. Seuss books at the house, a few of them. Green Eggs and Ham is packed away in some box, and I've been going through the garage recently, trying to get, you know, my books and VHS tapes and all kinds of stuff that have been in the garage for only 3 years, out of the garage and into bookcases in the house. And by complete accident, I found the Dr. Seuss book, Are You My Mother? My favorite Dr. Seuss book as a kid was Green Eggs and Ham. My little daughter, Gracie, it was Are You My Mother? Little birdie gets separated from its nest and goes searching for its mother. Horses, pigs, hens, humans, a giant backhoe. The little birdie's confused, just trying to find its mother. It's Dr. Seuss, so all ends well, but that one's in there. Grace, I've got enough junk in my house. I'll give you that book. But Dr. Seuss, Societal Grinch? Beloved children's author has come under fire lately, but local librarians are not giving up on him yet. By the way, other stories on the front of today's Sun Chronicle, Perseverance in the Face of Adversity. Sam Norton teen gets an award from the Marathon Bombing Victims Fund for doing something wonderful for other people. That's admirable. Mansfield firefighter charged, allegedly fled accident, a hit and run. But wait, there's more. He had his 9-year-old daughter in his pickup truck. Attleboro Municipal Federal Credit Union was robbed. And once again, I'm looking at the picture in the Sun Chronicle, and the guy's got the hoodie up over his head, and he's got the sunglasses on. I thought hoodies and sunglasses were banned from our banks. The bank I go to in Quincy has a double-door system. You go through the first door, and then you have to wait in the little lobby area till someone presses a button to let you in the second door. And if you're wearing a hoodie and sunglasses, they won't let you in. But anyway, those stories don't interest me as much as the Dr. Seuss issue. When people used to discuss the beloved children's author, Dr. Seuss, they would talk about the playful rhymes and whimsical images that made up his collection of best-selling children's books. Now, they're discussing prejudice. Last month in Cambridge, elementary school librarian Liz Phipps Suero posted an open letter online that rejected a donation of 10 Dr. Seuss books from First Lady Melania Trump. Suero said the Seuss illustrations are steeped in racist propaganda, caricatures, and harmful stereotypes, and are, quote, a bit of a cliche, end quote, and a tired and worn ambassador for children's literature. So what Ms. Suero proved there is that, one, gosh, she hates the Trumps even more than I do, which is stunning, and two, she has absolutely positively no sense of humor. Heck, everything from the 30s and especially the 40s, when we were at war, was draped in racial stereotypes. Heck, the Three Stooges? Remember how the Three Stooges treated our Japanese and German brothers and sisters? Never mind African Americans. This house sure gone crazy. When the lion's going after the porter in the train and he jumps out the window, so the lion takes a swat at his backside and the porter yells, help me, I'm losing my mind. I don't think you could produce that today. You can still show it on Sunday in the Stooges. When they don't have the stupid New England Patriots weekly 85th pregame show of the week on. God, it's the worst thing about football season, no Sunday with the Stooges. But I digress, the topic is Dr. Seuss. She, Suero, raised issues specifically with books like And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street for alleged racist depictions of Chinese culture and The Cat in the Hat for alleged racism against black entertainers. Not as racist as Al Jolson, of course, but pretty darn racist. In the 2017 view. And the things I saw on Mulberry Street, heck, one, that's before anyone in this country knew there was a difference between Korean, Japanese, Chinese, and Southeast Asian people. Nobody knew. Heck, to my father's dying day, he never knew. We're also, you know, a little thing called war with Japan at the time. And even Dr. Seuss, Mr. Giselle himself, later in his career, kind of apologized for that and did more racially sensitive stuff as he got older. But this is the kind of thing, if it's good, it's good. If it's a racial stereotype, instead of banning it and putting away, explain that. I don't know if a 3 or 4 year old kid could get it, but I think a 7, 8, 9, 10 year old kid could understand the concept, really. But anywho, as Sowero criticized the First Lady for her donation to a wealthy Cambridge school, and who's kidding whom? If the First Lady had donated the complete works of Shakespeare, she would have criticized it. I don't know, we can't have Shakespeare. Women are treated like property. Romeo and Juliet can't decide who they want to marry on their own. They have to follow their parents' instructions. No, thank you. Yes, Sowero criticized the First Lady for her donation to a wealthy Cambridge school, saying the books would be better served to a less privileged school in need of a donation. Yes, really, we don't need your racist Dr. Seuss books. Give those to the poor people. They probably can't read yet anyway. It'd be a nice way for them to learn. But after the letter went viral, Sowero faced a slew of commentary from the public about her decision, including a statement given by Springfield Mayor Dominic J. Sarno. He objected to Sowero's comments and even invited the First Lady and President Donald Trump to come visit the Amazing World of Dr. Seuss, a museum in Springfield where Seuss is from. If they do show up, remind me to avoid Springfield on that day. That would be traumatizing to children. Hell of a lot more traumatizing to children than Dr. Seuss. Hey, one side we have Dr. Seuss, who unfortunately portrayed different races in his books the way, let me think, everyone portrayed different races in their books back then. I find that a lot less intimidating or insulting or disgusting than a real live narcissistic racist, stunningly ill-informed human being right there in front of the kids. That would be traumatic. The museum decided to take down the mural. I saw it on Mulberry Street. After three prominent children's authors complained about the fact that it contains a jarring racial stereotype. Page 2. Of a Chinese person. Blah, 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 blah. We went over that all last week. Joan Pilkington Smith. That's Joan Pilkington Smith, not Smythe. The director of the Attleboro Public Library was well aware of the issue and all of the controversy it has caused. We're not here to say it's totally bad literature, and we're working on developing a way to respond to parents and students, she said. Pilkington Smith said that Attleboro was preparing an official response to confused parents who now aren't sure what to make of their kids' favorite books. Wow. How come I can't have green eggs like Sam I Am, Mommy? Wow. Eunice Franklin. Here's a name you don't see enough anymore. Eunice. I mean, you see it more than Ethel and Mabel, but still not enough, unless you watch the Carol Burnett Show, of course. Eunice Franklin, Youth Services Director for the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro, had heard about the controversy as well. However, she has not run into any conflict with the books. No parents have asked us or raised any concern on the matter, she said. And then this is me, not the article from the Sun Chronicle. I guess that's the difference between Cambridge and North Attleboro right there. Wow. Personally, Franklin says she still plans to enjoy the many positive books written by Dr. Seuss. The bulk of his work was the exact opposite of racist. Yes, it was. A lot of his books often defended the little guy. And then we go to the children's librarian, Katie Schott, over at Mansfield. Dr. Seuss was a product of his time, and lots of authors then were a product of their time. But I don't think kids are going to pick up on the messages so easily, unless, of course, the easily offended parents go out of their way to point them out to them. Wow. And here's actually the way to handle it, and then we'll go to a break. According to Amy Phillips Lasso, a lot of hyphenated names in this article. Well, it did start in Cambridge. I guess that explains that. According to Amy Phillips Lasso, and when someone with a hyphenated name, and you have a kid, so you give the kid the hyphenated name, and then he grows up and meets and falls in love with someone else with a hyphenated name, well, now, will their children have four hyphenated names? So if John Smith Jones marries Judy Johnson Ellington, will their kids be Ralph Smith Jones Johnson Ellington? No, they'd be Smith Jones Johnson Johnson Ellington, I think. Where does it end? Anyway. When I read Seuss to children, I point out these racist images right away. I intend to do so from the beginning to create teachable moments. Bingo! Bingo! That's how to deal with it? Wow. Anyway, it goes on. It's kind of like people wanting to ban To Kill a Mockingbird. People wanting to ban Bert's favorite book, Huckleberry Finn. No. No. Don't ban it. Don't hide that great literature. Explain it. Wow. You're supposed to be teachers. Teach.
The next meeting of the Art Lovers Book Club at the Attleboro Arts Museum will be on Saturday, October 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. in the museum's Otmar Gallery. The book club will discuss The Auctioneer, Adventures in the Art Trade by Simon DePuri. The afternoon will have a guest speaker, Chris Barber, Deputy Director of American Furniture and Decorative Arts at Skinner Auctioneers and Appraisers. Reservations are not required, but are appreciated. To reserve your spot or for more information, you can call the museum at 508-222-2644, extension 10, or email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org by October 19th.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say,
for over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.org.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man, with an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree. From the coonskin cap on the top of old Dan to the heel of his rawhide shoe, the rippinest, roarinest, fightinest man the frontier ever knew. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. What a boon, what a doer, what a dream come a truer was he.
Yes, Daniel Boone, when men were men and women were darn glad of it. Yeah, wow. Daniel Boone. And, were Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett ever in the same place at the same time? Sometimes I don't think they're two different people. And didn't Fess Parker play both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett at one point? I think they're the same guy. Kit Carson, too. That might be the same guy as well. I'm not sure. But it's books we read and loved as kids that you can't read now. You can argue about Huckleberry Finn and its use of the N-word, because the N-word was used a lot then. That's why the N-word is in the books, because that's the way people spoke then. And if you're going to read a book about the past, the language they used kind of matters more than just a little bit. But I can understand the arguments over Huckleberry Finn or To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't agree with them, of course, but I can understand the argument. Dr. Seuss, now you've gone too far, for crying out loud. Oh, I missed an earlier remote correspondence. Exactly right when I mentioned Shakespeare. Because the Cambridge librarian who refused the donation of 10 Dr. Seuss books from Melania Trump, and who's kidding whom, she's got a bigger problem with Melania's last name, Trump, as do I. She's got a bigger problem with Trump than she does with Dr. Seuss, trust me. And for an example, I said, if Melania Trump had donated the complete works of Shakespeare, the Cambridge librarian, not all of them, but the one in question here, would have rejected that because, of course, back in those days, women were property, not people. Heavens to Betsy. Ned, one of our quality control engineers, writes in, not only were women disrespected in Shakespeare's plays, they weren't even allowed to act in Shakespeare's plays during his time. That's right. Women of character weren't in plays. For a woman to act on stage, for a woman to attract attention to herself on stage, that was, well, you shared the same moral characteristics as a prostitute. Didn't make as much money, but shared the same characteristics. That's a great point, Ned. Not only were women disrespected in the plays, they weren't even allowed to act in the plays. And as Lady Macbeth taught us, they weren't very good at washing their hands either. I mean, how tough is it to get blood off your hands? Just dip them into the water, for crying out loud. Oh, well. But that leads to the other thing, which we've talked about before. Things we did as kids that you can't do now. And I think a lot of us look back on our childhood. I mean, unless you came from a really difficult situation and suffered abuse. I know middle school and high school for a lot of people was really tough. They were picked on all the time. Not me. I had the happiest childhood of anyone ever born. And, you know, we complain, oh, kids have no idea how great we had it when we only had one phone in the entire house for two parents, seven kids, and Rusty the dog. Although looking back, I don't recall Rusty making many phone calls. But anyway, one phone in the house, seven kids, phone was on the wall of the kitchen. You try getting some privacy to call someone up for a date. The huge technological advancement we had with our phone in our house was when my mom bought the extra long phone cord, you know, the long squiggly phone cord that could stretch out. So then you could dial the phone and not have to stand in the kitchen and talk on the phone. You could, with the long cord, actually open the kitchen door, close it behind you with the cord still extended, and walk out into the garage and speak out there with some privacy. But I remember Mrs. Tomensky, gosh, 2 weeks ago I just went to Mr. Tomensky's funeral, but I remember Mrs. Tomensky always saying to us, I'm so glad I grew up when I did. And I didn't have to be a kid when you poor suckers are. She didn't say poor suckers, but you get the point. So I think everyone looks back on their childhood fondly. But really, we had it better. Oh. And then, you know, before I even get to the list, this is stunning. Oh, I almost used a phrase you can't there. Kevin...
Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!
Callahan writes in, things we did as kids that, quote, helicopters, end quote, won't allow now. Have fun. Which this list, basically... Kevin, you just summarized the entire list before I read it. Thank you for the spoiler alert. That's the bottom line. When we were kids, we were allowed to have fun by ourselves. Think of that. And the world was more dangerous then than it is now. But we didn't have 24/7 news channels. So if some kid got abducted in East Bumblepoop, Iowa, we didn't hear about it. But yes, and again, parents were called parents, not helicopters. Heck, there was only one use for the word helicopters when we were little kids. And that use for the word helicopters concerned only helicopters, not parents. But yes, we were allowed to have fun. But here are some of the things. Roaming the neighborhood unsupervised. I was 5 years old when we moved from Shrewsbury to Westboro. 5 years old. And I remember the day we moved in, the big moving van there. The moving guys, my big brothers, my parents, heck, Joni and Mary, moving stuff into the house. I was 5 years old. So what did my father say to me? You want to help? Get the hell out of the way. That's how you can help. So on my first day in the brand new neighborhood, I went by myself, walking around Harvey Lane, looking in other people's garages, because the garage doors were always open. We trusted our neighbors. That was the day I met Neil and Kurt Tomensky, who were 2 years older than me and would be my best friends throughout my childhood, at least to like fifth, sixth grade. Walking around the neighborhood unsupervised. Heck, and as we got older, we'd go in the woods unsupervised, go swimming at Emery's Pond with no parents around, just us kids. Nobody drowned. Biggest tragedy, Kurt Tomensky lost his false teeth once, where they still remain to this day in the bottom of Emery's Pond. We never found them. But yeah, never mind roaming the neighborhood unsupervised. We could go swimming at Emery's Pond unsupervised, because the parents knew that we had learned how to swim.
Wow.
Drinking water from the garden hose. Remember that? When you were running around the neighborhood, whether you were playing punch ball or wiffle ball or kickball or hide and seek or kick the can or capture the flag. Or just tag and he got thirsty. Whoever's yard you were in, you turned on the outside spigot. That's a great word. Spigot. And if there was a garden hose, you'd drink right out of that garden hose. And can you imagine the contaminants in the hose? Sometimes we were smart enough to let the water run for a while, not because we were worried about contaminants, but because the water got colder if you let it run for a while. And if there was no garden hose, you'd drink right from the spigot. Oh, we were happy then. A couple of remote correspondents here at 774-287-6194. Lighting a salute, which I think was a type of firecracker, in your hand and holding it until it was about to explode and then throw it in the air. Yep, we used to spend every July 4th up in Swampscott with my parents' friend, the McInerneys, go out in the McInerneys boat and watch the fireworks. But all afternoon, the parents, my parents and Mr. and Mrs. McInerney, you know, Bob and Regina, it's because of Bob McInerney that I ended up wearing a lime green leisure suit to my senior prom, because my mom thought the leisure suit looked so neat and so cool on Bob McNamara. That's another topic, though, unfortunately. But yeah, I remember running around their neighborhood in Swampscott doing just that, lighting the firecracker, holding it for a while to show you were brave, then throwing it up in the air, boom. And then the one time I had the firecracker out there, Billy McInerney accidentally lit the middle of the fuse, not the end of the fuse. Oops. Went to throw the firecracker, cocked my arm back, and right when it was next to my right ear, boom, it went off. Burn on my right hand. Couldn't hear in my right ear the ringing that only comes from when a firecracker blows up next to your ear. Did I run screaming home to tell my parents what happened? Hell no. My hand hurt, my ear hurt, and I couldn't even tell them because then I'd get in more trouble. What the hell are you doing throwing firecrackers around, for crying out loud? We went over this. You can light them. You can stick them in the tree. We don't want you throwing firecrackers. You could poke somebody's eye out with that thing. Heck, kids aren't even allowed to play with things now where they could poke someone's eye out. Oh, this is funny. And another quick comment from Kevin.
You're naughty.
Callahan. We let my daughter ride her bike to her friend's house. The next day, her friend's parents drove her over to our house. So their kid was allowed to ride her bike unsupervised to the friend's house. Next day, the friend's going to visit their house. Nope, nope, nope. The mother drives her there.
Oh, my child could be abducted. My child could be unsupervised by adults for 12.14 seconds. We can't have that.
Yeah. The next day, her friend's parents drove her over to our house. My wife and I looked at each other and said, I guess we're the bad parents again, then laughed. No, you weren't the bad parents. You were the parents who were doing it right. A couple of more things on the list of things we could do as kids that not only kids can't do today, but their helicopters, I mean parents, wouldn't even think of letting their kids do that today. Us? We knew that smoking cigarettes was bad for you. Only the punks smoke cigarettes. Only bad kids smoke cigarettes. So we'd hike into the woods through Emery's field there and smoke grapevines. Yep,